This is episode number 52 with Charlie Hone. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Hey, what is up, Grace? Thanks so much for tuning in today. Super pumped about this episode. It's with my good man, Charlie Hone, and it's all about why you need to play it away. And he's got a new book out called Play It Away, A Workaholic's Cure for Anxiety. Now, there's so many things that are happening in a lot of entrepreneurs' lives. You've got the family, you've got the career, you've got the dream of your success, finances, everything else that's happening. And a lot of times, some of us forget that life is all about play. And Charlie has a very unique story and experiences that he shares in this episode. It's all about kind of his rise to the top in the career world in his 20s and how he became extremely depressed and had a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress while working with some of the most influential people in the entrepreneurial business space. He worked with Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss, Tucker Max, Ramit Sethi, and supported them in a lot of their biggest launches, a lot of their number one New York Times best-selling book campaigns, events that they did, and he was part of the execution team for a lot of them in that. And he became very unhappy, and he realized that he was focusing a lot of his energy on work and making sure that he was getting results. And he really forgot about playing. He realized he wasn't playing anymore. And so this is a very interesting episode. And I think it speaks true to a lot of us that we need to play. We need to have fun. We need to remember what life is all about. And so I'm very excited to introduce Charlie here in a second with this new book that he's got and this new message that that he's sharing in this book. So stay tuned for that. With that, guys, let's go ahead and jump in right now with the one and only Charlie Hone.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
And thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to the School of Greatness. I've got a friend on who I haven't talked to actually in a while, and it's because he was going through a lot of anxiety and extremely stressed out, and he found his way back to living a life, a fulfilled life, having a lot of fun and stress-free. And so we're coming back on today to chat for the first time in a while because he's written a book about his entire journey, and it's called Play It Away, A Workaholic's Cure for Anxiety. His name is Mr. Charlie Hone. What's up, my man?
Hey, Lewis. Thanks so much for having me on, dude.
I'm excited, man, because we've known each other for probably, I think, 4 years, maybe even longer. And you used to work with a number of really influential individuals in the online business space and marketing space in general. Ramit Sethi, you worked with for a while. You also worked with Seth Godin, I believe, early on, and Tim Ferriss for some of his book marketing and the 4-Hour Chef apps and things like that. So you've worked with some amazing influential minds over the last 5-6 years, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had a lot of good fortune to work with. I started off in Colorado, and I just kind of reached out to all of these guys who were in New York or San Francisco, and I was really fortunate to get in touch with them and to be able to work with them one-on-one.
And you originally worked with Seth, was kind of like how you got started, I think, right?
Yeah, that was a virtual internship, and I applied to that and got rejected. And then he opened it up to all the people who got rejected, and he said, I'll give you an assignment. You keep working on it throughout the week. And then I stuck with that for a couple months and then got to meet him in New York, and he helped there were about a dozen of us who saw the virtual internship through to completion.
Mm, nice. And then you started working with Ramit after that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what were the stuff you were working on with him?
I reached out to him originally to offer help with his online video. I noticed he was really good on video, but he never did it. And I said, dude, you gotta do more of this. And if what's holding you back is not having a video editor, or like how big the files are or any of that, just let me take care of it for you. And so I started doing his video editing and taking care of that stuff. And then we started working on the plan for his book, the marketing plan. And I helped him market that. And then he introduced me to Tim Ferriss. And around that time, I was also working with Tucker Max, the author of I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. And so both of those guys recommended me to Tim, and I ended up working full-time with Tim.
For about how long?
We started on a part-time basis in, I think it was 2008, and we worked together, I think, for around 3 years or maybe even a little over that.
Wow. And you worked with him for one or two books?
I worked with him on... Well, when I first came on, he had just released the second edition of the 4-Hour Workweek.
Okay.
And so I helped him market the release of the second edition. And then I worked with him from start to finish pretty much on the 4-Hour Body, just helping him edit it during the production and then launch it. Mm. And then I got a few months into the 4-Hour Chef, and then I quit.
Gotcha. So you were basically responsible for a couple of big New York Times bestsellers with Tim's For Our Body. I guess I'm not responsible, but you were on the team. You're on the team. You're on the team of really devising a great plan with these authors and then executing these plans, which that's where, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a great plan. It's all about having a great execution, in my opinion. Right. And you were an essential part ingredient of those plans and of those executions, and you were on point with, you know, everything, with reaching out to people, with having the press information, with everything they needed. You were there, and we actually did a video about this, I think 3 years ago or something, where we talk about the how to market a book, a number one New York Times bestseller, because you've done a couple of them. And that video has actually been, you know, a great resource for a lot of authors from all of your information.
Yeah, I should say that these guys all had platforms before me. They would have done fine.
Right.
They needed help. And I was able to come to them with a very specific outline of what I could offer that was immediately understandable from their perspective as oh, this guy can help me get through this with less pain and end up selling hopefully more books. So, I mean, I get, I think sometimes more credit than I deserve, but I did hustle and I did work really hard to get in those positions. So at the same time, I got to take it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you stopped working with Tim. And I remember, mm-hmm. All this happening because
we talked on the phone about this.
Yeah. We were at Tim's event, as well. Tim had a big event about, you know, book marketing, and you were there really supporting that entire event as well and making that happen. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing you there and just thinking that you looked so stressed out, man. I was like, man, this guy looks exhausted. Looks like his heart is racing constantly. There's the weight of the world is on his shoulders. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit and you were like, you wanted to write a book. I said, what is it you really want to do? And you had like, I think I have like 100 ideas that I've written down for businesses that I want to do. And I want to write a book and this and that, but you were still kind of unclear. Yeah. But you quit. And then you started working with another friend of mine, Chad, on App Empire.
Chad Moretta. Yeah.
And so why'd you decide to work with App Empire, which ended up being a multi-million-dollar business and basically the first year, why'd you end up doing that?
We talked when I was in San Francisco and I was kind of lost, and you gave me some really good advice. I remember because I was talking about this stuff and I was saying, you know, I feel like I have to become this successful entrepreneur. Mm. And you were like, what is it that you would actually do if like money and prestige wasn't an issue? Like, what is it that you actually really enjoy doing? And I thought about it for a second and I said, you know, I really like making people laugh. Like, I really just enjoy that. And if I could, I would do something in that realm. And it's funny, you know, before we started this podcast, we were talking about it. I've been doing improv comedy for several months and for the first time in my life. And that's just been great. But to get back to your question, why I started working with Chad, I was really unclear what I wanted to do. I just felt like I was being pulled in all these different directions. And then Chad approached me and he said, you know, I want to start an app company. And I knew he'd done really well. But he was like, I want to start something that I'm not going to sell and I want to be working with my friends. And so Chad and I, you know, started getting lunches and stuff together and talking about this. And I had developed an app called Negotiate It with Ramit. And the app is basically just the counter scripts that you can read to companies and like your cell phone bill company and your cable bill. You call them up and you basically get money back just by reading these scripts in this app. And I didn't know how to market that. So I said to Chad, I'll help you market your book if you teach me everything you know about apps and how to market them. And so I came up with, you know, I looked at his marketing plan and revised it and helped him there. And then we started working together and we enjoyed it. And the three of us, Jason Adams was the other one, we all kind of talked about co-founding a company together and it did pretty well. And then I ended up quitting that as well.
Now, that which company was that? Was that App Empire or is that just a different thing? Gotcha.
Yeah, it's kind of an umbrella company. Right. They made an information product that teaches people how to start their own app business. Right. 'Cause a lot of people want to know how to do that. But
and that ended up selling, you know, a couple $1 million in sales, I think, in the first year, right?
In 10 days.
Wow.
It did really well. There was a lot of demand for it. And it was an expensive product. This wasn't it was like a $2,000 product. So.
And so you were part owner in that or what was your?
No, I mean, my role was, I said, you know, I was getting paid well per month. And I just said, let's go month to month. while we're starting this, because I don't want to, you know, immediately jump into equity talk and residuals and all that, because I want to make sure we're all like on the same page. And so we ended up working together for a few months, and I was helping them with basically day-to-day operations. And we were just feeling each other out to right. see what this would be like. Because frankly, I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't know Chad or Jason super well. I know both of them pretty well now, but I wasn't sure if it was the right move. Mm. It was initially really appealing and exciting to me because I was like, oh man, Facebook just acquired Instagram for $1 billion and Draw Something got bought by Zynga for $250 million. And that was my mindset at the time. I was just like, this is the fastest growing industry in the history of capitalism. What, you know, I'm living the dream. I could co-found an app company with two of my friends, and we could just make games and fun apps and stuff all day long. And I thought, you know, that was what I needed to be doing. I thought that was the next natural step I needed to take in my career to like feel good about myself, I guess.
And so why did you quit?
It just didn't feel right. It never really resonated. Like, I don't really care about apps, you know, I don't. And it took me a long time to realize that. And the apps that I was making, I was just like, man, I don't think there's a single one of these I would use.
Wow.
Like, I used Negotiate It because I was like, this is a practical app. It's useful to have. But there was nothing I would get really amped up about. And, you know, the apps just aren't really anything I care about. I like books. I like film. But not apps. And my ideas just weren't that good.
Mm. Way to be honest. Okay, so you quit because you didn't like apps. And what was next then? What did you realize? What realization did you come to?
The realization I came to, well, I mean, that kind of ratcheted up my anxiety to the highest level. Because I, you know, at the time I didn't have the self-awareness of like, why am I doing this stuff?
Mm.
And it was like a status play. It was prestige. It was a money play. And it was like all the wrong reasons.
But what about the happiness play?
Exactly. That was lacking. Mm. And, you know, it's funny because I went into hibernation mode. I moved to Colorado and I was like, all right, I'm going to write my book, you know, because a part of me, I was like, I know that, you know, I've been working on this book for 5 years and I know I'm never going to write this if I actually reach the success I think I need to reach in order to be taken seriously as an author. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The book I was working on was based on like an ebook I wrote years ago called Recession Proof Graduate. And it's just how to get any job you want, basically. Because the methods and techniques I was using, I noticed a lot of people were using to get themselves these amazing gigs.
Right.
Like our friend Ryan Holiday, who at 23 was director of marketing for American Apparel. So I started working on that book. I moved back to Colorado and was living in a ski town, writing every day. And, I did that for months and I cranked out about 125,000 words and, finally reached the point with the book where I wasn't too embarrassed by it. So I gave it to people and again, it was the same problem. It was like, I was writing that book, but I wasn't in a great state of mind. It wasn't like a happy state of mind. I wasn't pursuing my own happiness. I was doing it because I thought I had to. Mm. And I just like, I still didn't know what I should be doing. Like there was all this anxiety while I was making this first book. And when I showed it to people, to a few of my author friends, they all said the same thing. They were like, there's this one section that's really good, but it doesn't belong in the book.
Hmm.
And that was the section on overcoming anxiety, because I felt like that section I wrote at the time, a lot of it was like therapeutic. It was like, okay, I tried a bunch of things. This was the stuff that actually helped and worked. And, but, you know, there were still some missing pieces to it. I still didn't understand why I didn't feel great and or the way I used to.
Mm.
And
So what happened in that book?
That book, I cut out that section. And then what happened to the first book that I originally worked on?
Mm-hmm.
It's still on the back burner because what happened was I moved down to Austin. And, you know, when I first arrived down here, I wasn't feeling too great still. And then, you know, I was just trying to get my groove back basically. And then there was this one night where I read, just by random chance, I read this book called Play by, Stuart Brown. And it's just like, it was one of those few It's one of those books that came at the exact right time in my life that just like it just hit me so hard what I'd been doing wrong for so long. I was chronically depriving myself of play. I was constantly rejecting every opportunity to have like guilt-free fun because everything I was doing was like, this has got to earn me money. This has got to advance my career. This has got to, like, it was all about doing more and more and more. And I never, like, accounted for, like, just having fun, just doing things for the sake of doing them. And that's, like, that mentality, that state of mind was how I'd always been. I'd never really been serious up until recently. And that mentality was how I got those jobs in the first place. Like, I viewed life as a series of opportunities to have fun. And so when I was approaching Ramit and Tucker and Tim, for me, that was fun because I was getting to think of ways to make their customers happier and to play a game of my own, you know? And then at some point I just started taking all of it very seriously.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD streaming audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is interesting now. So, play. A lot of people take their career and business very seriously, and it stresses them out. They get burned out. They have depression. They're, you know, create cancers in their bodies. They get sick. They get overweight because they're just working constantly. They don't sleep. Mm-hmm. So how important is play in the workplace?
I think it's everything. I mean, I think it's it's not only a state of mind, but like it's also an action that you have to take, because the way that we work now is so foreign to how human beings would actually behave. You know, the way we evolved was to move and to have fun and to do these, like in the hunter-gatherer times, like kids would play pretty much all day. And now they sit in a classroom staring at screens, because that's actually preparing them for adulthood.
Mm.
That's how adults behave. So we sit in chairs all day indoors, depriving ourselves of fresh air, sunlight, movement. And we take everything we do so seriously. So I found when I started playing, like the first real play moment I had where I was like, I'm going to make a conscious effort to play, was when this guy introduced his friend to me through email and said, you guys really ought to meet. And his friend wrote back and he said, hey, Charlie, we should grab coffee sometime. And I wrote back to him like, it's nice to meet you, but let's not grab coffee. Let's go to the park and play catch.
Mm.
And and when we did that, and he was so happy that I responded with that, because no one ever responds with that.
Right.
But when we did that, like both of us actually had a genuine bond, and there was no pressure to talk the whole time. There was no pressure to impress each other. You know, this subtle game that everyone does when they're in these business meetings was like, I'm higher status, you're lower status sort of thing. It's just constant. And it was just nice. It was relaxing. And when I came off of that, when we were done playing catch, I noticed how much lighter and happier I felt. And for the first time, I noticed like, I was aware that I was, you know, being more flirtatious, and I was more likely to prank. I was like pranking my friends, and I just had this playful energy that I just had been lacking for a long time. And it was nice. And what I noticed over time was how much it affected my productivity and how necessary it was to have that downtime. So sleep is so beneficial for us, because it gives our brain a chance to digest everything that's been coming in throughout the day and actually process it and kind of do a cleanup, like a reset. We need sleep, but we also need play, because when you're moving around, you can't be thinking about stuff. So it gives your brain another chance to relax, and you're moving around, and it's releasing all these positive feelings inside of you. And I remember my friend, I had two friends actually. My friend Ann, she was just zoned out. She texted me one day. She's like, I'm trying to get through my work, but I can't because I'm so bored that I've been staring at a turtle swimming by nearby for the last hour. So we went to the park and played with an Arobi flying ring, which is basically a flying disc that goes really fast and far and is hard to control. So you have to sprint around after it. And we played for a couple hours, and she texted me the next day and she was like, it's crazy to me how like I gave myself permission to just take a day off and have fun. And it's made work today easier than ever, basically. And my friend Aaron did the same thing. And we just noticed that, you know, taking time off to have fun and do fun stuff with your friends without feeling bad about it, knowing that it's a necessity and not an escape, it impacted our work. It made us more creative, more productive. It made work easier and faster.
So interesting that it's such a simple concept to just play. Is something that can help you in all areas of your life, and especially in your career, and relieving stress, anxiety by simply just playing. And right. Do you have a, you know, what about people who are like, well, you know, this is serious for me because I got to make money. I've got kids, I've got responsibilities, I got bills. And if I don't focus and if I'm not serious with my career and really taking these calculated steps, then how am I going to like provide for my basic needs, provide for my family and get the, you know, acknowledgement I want, I guess, in my career. So what do you say to people like that who are stressed because they need to focus and they need to be, you know, not sleep?
I would say a few things to that. One, they need time off because if you get in that mode where you're taking everything so seriously, like no matter what happens, you're probably not going to die. You're probably not going to suffer too much. And you need that time off to decompress and actually enjoy life, because when you get around people and you have this guilt-free fun with them, playing, doing something that everyone enjoys, where you're not being a perfectionist and you're not so caught up in the outcome and you're just enjoying the moment, you actually get to bond with those people and you form friendships with them. And that's what prevents anxiety, is actually feeling like you're a part of a group that loves you, that you can have fun with and trust. And I forget who said this, but one author did a bunch of research on happiness, and he found that the people who reported the highest degrees of happiness, the top 10%, there was only one thing that they had in common, and it was the quality of their relationships. And you can't get quality relationships exclusively from working all the time, or just from talking over coffee all the time, or from going to seminars and handing out your business cards. You actually have to bond with people. My best friends from high school are the people I played sports with for years, you know, and I guarantee you can say the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get to bond over an activity that you enjoy, and you get to see each other fail in a way that's totally harmless and funny. And you just form this unique bond that you can only have by playing. And when you have that bond, you actually have relationships with these people, and they're more likely to introduce you to unique opportunities.
Because you have a greater, right? You have a deeper connection with them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're more likely to trust you. So I think not everyone's playing the same game of, I have to take this very seriously and I have to stare at my computer all day long and interact with people through screens. And that's perfectly acceptable. And you can not only distinguish yourself by actually going out and playing face to face in the real world with them, but you can actually form real meaningful relationships with these people.
So what steps can someone take if they're super stressed out, living in anxiety, never play because they've just been focused on working and making money and achieving that type of financial status? What are some things they can do to get started playing where they're guilt-free when they do this? Because that's probably a lot of people's concern, is that when they play, they feel like they feel very guilty, especially if it's during the work day.
Right.
And then if they're after work and they've got kids, they can't go play, you know, on their own or whatever, because they feel guilty.
Or they could play with their kids.
Right. Right.
This is a good question. I think the first thing they should do is write up their play history. And what that is all the activities that they voluntarily turn to for fun repeatedly when they were growing up. So for me, that was, you know, team sports and playing catch. But it was also making people laugh. I would do film sketches and I would write stand-up comedy jokes, and I would go to stand-up comedy events. I loved building things with my hands. I loved like assembling furniture or building furniture from scratch. And I really loved what I realized, the one game that I played more than anything else all throughout my life up until several years ago was Home Run Derby. My friends and I would always play it. Like, we would just go in somebody's big backyard with a bucket of tennis balls and just hit home runs. And it was so much fun. So I went through my play history and I just picked my top things that I did, my top activities. And then I scheduled in my calendar every day to do one of those things for 20 minutes. I would really take that seriously. And I know it's like kind of weird to schedule it in your calendar because it's like play is supposed to be spontaneous and everything. But if you're chronically play deprived, then you need to cut out a section of time during the day where you're like, all right, I'm just going to play ping pong with my friend. And like sit down and have a talk with your friend and be like, look, this is a priority for me. Life is too serious and I need a way to decompress. Can you help me? Because I'm really stressed out and I would love to make this a commitment on a day-to-day basis. And I think my favorite play toy that you can get for under $10 is that Aerobi flying ring, because you have to like, you have to run around after it. So it's a good, like you're getting your heart racing. And so it's actually a form of exercise and you have to play with a friend to make it fun. So I think, you know, it's just baby steps. Instead of getting coffee with somebody, play catch with them.
Right. And on the cover of your book, you actually have you and another guy playing catch with a suit or with a tie on.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty interesting. It kind of reminds me of Field of Dreams.
Yeah, that's exactly what I went for, actually. Did you see the post I did?
I did not see the post you did.
I did a post on how I designed my book cover and the two elements that I took in, or the three elements I took into account. Or the three pieces of art were Field of Dreams, Big Fish, and Where the Wild Things Are.
Mm.
And like the spirit of those movies is so ingrained in my mind and the imagery. And it's just like all of them encapsulate like play and nostalgia for me. So
yeah,
that's what I was going for.
No, it's a great cover.
Thanks.
I don't know who is the gentleman. Is that?
That's my dad.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Field of Dreams right there.
Yeah.
That's cool. And he's actually got a catcher's bit, which is funny.
Ray Kinsella.
That's funny. So you just gave some steps on how you can kind of get started. And in your book, you've got a 4-week plan for health and happiness. And you talk about how you change the world, which I want to tap into in a second. But what I want to know is if you started off, how old are you now, Charlie?
27.
So if you started off when you were 21, playing for a living as opposed to trying to create this financial success and this status or achievement in the business world. If you started out playing and kind of doing what you love every single day with the acting, the improv, the script writing and playing, would you be as financially successful as you are today?
I wouldn't call myself financially successful by any stretch. I mean, I've made decent money in the past, but yeah, I want to be clear. I don't have as much money as you think I might have. But would I be where I am if I'd started with like the other forms of play is the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I would be. I think when I was making this book, when I started looking into, you know, people who'd emphasize the importance of play and doing stuff that's really fun, I started finding that they were some of the most successful and influential and innovative people. I don't know if I would be doing what I'm doing now, but I know that I started by thinking of who can I work with that can teach me what I want to learn that will be cool and fun for me to do. And I started not thinking how much money I can get because I was working with a lot of these guys for free for a long time. And I started from that place of what is going to be fun for me while enabling me to become an entrepreneur, because that's in my mind, like inventors and entrepreneurs, I thought were so cool. And I've always been that way. I've always thought that. But I don't know if I would be doing just stand-up or film. I'm not sure. I mean, I explored film for a while, and now I'm exploring improv. I have tons and tons of interests, and I have tons of things that I do for fun. So it's really tough to say. I mean, books writing can be really fun for me, and reading can be really fun for me too. Mm. So I don't know.
Well, what about changing the world? How do we change the world?
So the way you change the world, I think we're living in one of the most anxious periods of time, one of the more anxious periods of time in recent history, because everything is connected now all around the world. And we're, constantly attached to screens, and there's a lot. We all have access to the same information, basically, and a lot of that information is scary and it's uncertain, and it talks about the future and how scary it's going to be. And it's really easy to fall into this trap of constant fear about the future and the doom and gloom and the end is near and all this stuff. And I got into that trap for a while, and it was not because that information is necessarily completely accurate, but it's because I was isolated and alone and taking everything very seriously, and I was just on the constant lookout for threats to my survival.
Mm.
And when I started playing again, that went away.
Mm.
And I forgot, life isn't about success and prestige. Life is about connection. It's a ride. It's a gift. It's not supposed to be, how can I not lose? It's supposed to be about being in the moment. And I think the way you change the world is by asking those people who are afraid and anxious, and you can see it on their face, you can see it in their eyes, to be a part of your group and to play. And when you do that, you can help them remember what it's like to be a kid again.
Mm.
And remember that the world is their playground, not the prison that they think it is.
Mm, I like that. It's interesting. I just read an article recently on Huffington Post that talked about global game changers reveal what success looks like in their 20s and how that has changed. And it reminds me a lot of this conversation. And there's a lot of people, a lot of well-known people. Tyra Banks was mentioned on there, Arianna Huffington and Richard Branson, things like that, mentioned on there. In their 20s, it was mostly, the synopsis was mostly that it was about climbing the ladder, gaining material things, money, achievements, things like that. And then afterwards, they realized that going into their 30s, that they're very sleep deprived, having a lot of anxiety, stressed out constantly, losing out on connection. And when they would achieve these financial results or these material results, they were found very unfulfilled and unhappy after a period of time. And so what started shifting was more of connection and impact and giving to their community, to the world, and to others. And that's what really made them successful and made them feel fulfilled, was that sense of giving and community and living in the moment and, and connection, which what you said is the most, one of the most important things.
Right.
And you've got a really good 4-week game plan for, how to play and how to get rid of anxiety and things like that. And looking through it, it's really practical. There's a lot of great tips and steps and suggestions, which I think are extremely valuable for people who may be clueless or may think, I don't have the time to do this, or, again, I need to be serious, I need to make money, I got to support my family. But I really encourage you guys to check this out because of this 4-week game plan that Charlie has. It's really very practical, and it's something that anyone can do, little bits of it at a time as needed. And you give steps on what to do, how much it costs, when to do it, resources and things like that, which I think are extremely valuable. And it's really cool that you've decided to write about this and
be, you know, kind of a messenger for a lot of people, specifically entrepreneurs who are stressed out a lot. And people who, you know, stress and anxiety are really the cause of a lot of illness and disease and
unhappiness.
And unhappiness. So it's no point in being unhappy. I mean, we, you know, like you said, we've only got one life that we know of. So let's make it happy.
Yeah. And, you know, for all the anxious people out there, you know, when people say like, there's, you know, just be happy, you know, there's no point in like taking life so seriously. It's really hard for an anxious person to hear that, because they're like, I know, but I can't help but be terrified and worry and living in constant dread. And the way you can inoculate that is by incorporating guilt-free fun back into your life, not just the action, but the state of mind. And that's like the thing I really want to impart on people, is like, play is not only the thing that you do, but it's the way that you think. It's the way you approach the world.
I like that a lot. I think I believe that's mostly how I live my life. And
yeah, you're a good example.
I feel very relaxed and inspired and energized throughout all my days. Again, there's probably a lot of moments where I falter and get stressed out, but for the most part, when I'm playing, and when I, you know, especially in the summer, I make it it's my intention to go outside and play basketball for about 3 hours a night, pick up basketball here in West Hollywood. And, you know, I'm working out a lot, and I'm playing, handball, and I'm striving for the Olympic dream of playing handball, and I'm playing a lot, and it's fun because you get to connect, you get to sweat, you get to be in the moment. And whenever I'm playing, I'm in flow. And
exactly.
It's the most powerful.
Slips you into flow.
And flow is the most amazing feeling in the world. It's something that athletes strive to be in all the time. Authors, you know, musicians, actors. When people are in flow, it's one of the most amazing feelings in the world. It makes you feel the most alive, the most excited, energized, passionate, and it's like time slows down and speeds up at the same time.
Right, and you can lean into life rather than timidly tipping your toes out into it. It's an amazing feeling.
And the only way to really create that is by being is allowing yourself to surrender to play, or to surrender to the moment, and let go of everything else you're thinking about and focus only on that moment with your entire way of being, your body, your energy, your thoughts, your entire heart, everything. So I'm really grateful that you decided to write this book finally. And I think it's perfect timing for you. And you've done all the hard work. You've had enough, you've dealt with enough anxiety and stress over the years to be credible enough to write this. So I appreciate you for coming together with this. And it's not a long read either. It's very quick. And
I wanted to get to the point as quickly as I could with this book, because anxious people want to cut to the chase.
Exactly.
It's really, really crazy with this book, because it came out of another book. And I think this one's not only better, but it's just like, it's something I love. Like when I flip through it, I'm like, God, this is so good that something so good came out of so much pain. I think it's going to help a lot of people who need it.
Interesting, man. I love it. Where can we find this?
You will be able to pick up the book on Amazon as a paperback or a Kindle. It will also be on iBooks. And I'm also selling the PDF, the DRM free PDF, on Gumroad. So if you want to just, if that's too much to handle, you can find links and stuff really easily on my website, charliehone.com.
And that's H-O-E-H-N. We'll have it all over at the show notes at lewishouse.com. But I appreciate it, man. And I want to wrap up with the final question.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I got one more question for you.
Okay.
That's what I ask everyone. And it's, what's your definition of greatness?
being your best and being the best, most authentic version of yourself, which is really hard to do the way we're brought up. But I think for me, to tie it back into what we've been talking about, play brings out the best version of myself, the greatest version, when I allow myself to do it. And I think that goes with everybody.
I agree. I love it, man. CharlieHone.com. Make sure to pick up the book. It's an awesome read for really letting go of your stress and anxiety and bringing play back in your life. So I appreciate you, man, and I'm super grateful for you for creating this. And I know it's going to help a lot of people. So thanks so much, and we'll definitely we'll definitely talk to you soon, man.
All right, man. Thanks so much again.
There you have it. Thanks so much for listening today. Again, Charlie is a great guy and has an amazing story of what he's created in his 20s. But really what he realized is that it comes down to leaving a bigger impact and making sure you're taking care of yourself and playing and having fun with other people, creating this community around play as opposed to around let's just have coffee and be serious and network and trade business cards. But really, why don't we play and have fun around this and build a deeper bond, deeper trust, deeper relationship around the idea of play? I think it's brilliant, and it's a way I try to live my life as well. So if you enjoyed this, then make sure to check out Charlie's site over at charliehone.com. We've got all the show notes over at schoolofgreatness.com or lewishouse.com. And just check out the episode with Charlie Hone on the podcast section. And if you enjoyed this, or you think maybe you've got some workaholic friends yourself who could apply some play in their life, then go ahead and share this with your friends. Go ahead and send an email, promote it on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere else online that you see fit. And I appreciate you for sharing this and constantly listening. We've got some amazing episodes coming up. And if you have yet to listen to any previous episodes, make sure to go back into the archives and check it out. There's some great guests on here over at the School of Greatness. And we're going to continue to bring you some of the top guests and influencers and inspiring minds in the world. So stay tuned. Make sure to subscribe over on SoundCloud, Stitcher, or iTunes. And subscribe to the newsletter over at lewishouse.com. I appreciate you. I love you. And make sure to go out there and do something great.
When stress does hit you, how many of you will admit that after 9/11, maybe you had a little stress? Can I see your hands, please? All right. Let me tell you something, folks. If you take the word stressed and spell it backwards, it's desserts. When you respond to life instead of react to it, react is negative. You get sick, go to the doctor, she gives you a prescription, says, see me tomorrow. You walk in the next day, she said, uh-oh, it's not working. We have to change the prescription. You get a little nervous. But as she smiled and said, hey, it's working. And so you have just, she's just responded, and you feel better because now you see some real hope in order to get ahead in life. But I don't care how optimistic you are, and incidentally, for what it's worth, I am an optimist. I'd take my last $2 and buy a money belt with it. I mean, that's the way I'm put together. I'd go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with me. Your optimism is an important fact of life.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.